Morning, everyone. We really are blessed, aren't we? So blessed. In so many ways. And it is good to be reminded. Mike just prayed there, just to be reminded. I was thinking of that passage in Philippians, you know, think on these things, whatsoever is good, lovely. And the enemy does try and distract us in so many ways, if he can get our eyes off, essentially off the Lord. He's on to something, and we suffer for that, but we can fix our eyes on Jesus, and we can turn our eyes again if we're aware that we have dropped our gaze, so to speak. Bless the Lord. How wonderful he is. Let's just pray, and then we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Lord, we thank you for your presence, the reality of who you are here among us, by your Spirit living in your people. Lord, we wonder again at the magnificence of what you've done, power of sin broken. You've bruised the serpent's head. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you that it's a finished and perfect and complete work once and for all. And we stand on this solid ground this morning, Lord. Thank you that you are unshakable. We sang earlier, Lord, we're reminded that though all hell should endeavour to shake, Lord, you never forsake your people, and your work is rock solid because you are the rock. And we glory in you this morning. Whether we're smiling or crying or whatever the other faces were, we bless you, Lord, that in all circumstances you remain unchangeably rock solid. How firm the foundation. Bless your name. And so we turn to your word, Lord, and we find your word to be rock-like in our lives. And we bless you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to read now from verse 7. And I wondered about trying to finish today, but I thought I'll finish by Christmas. So we're going to have one today, and then I think possibly one before Christmas, just to finish off. The finish line's in sight, isn't it? On Colossians. I've so enjoyed just, you know what, it's actually been a real exercise for my own heart not to rush. And our society is, it's full on, isn't it? It's breakneck speed. You barely have time. And if you're not careful, you get swept along. And it's been a discipline for me to be unhurried. Even just as we've looked at Colossians. I hope you don't mind. I was looking back over my notes, and I think we started in November 2014. Time flies when you're having fun, eh? But it was actually quite instructive. I just thought, Lord, how good you've been to us, how consistent, how faithful. And I've really been blessed by, I haven't got the quote with me, but just, I think it was Hudson Taylor's wife who talked about unhurried communion and unbroken communion in his presence. I think someone else picked up on that thought of lingering and this sense of unhurried communion with the Lord. It's not a hit and run job. We can just be still. And how precious in the rhythms of life, even in the rhythms of our week, that God ordained a Sabbath rest. And actually, I've been thinking a lot about that. Just there's rhythms, aren't there, to our days and our weeks and our months, the seasons and the years. And we see his faithfulness. And we're unwise if we do away with Sabbath rest. Practically, I mean, it's wonderful. I know Sunday's often a very busy day, isn't it? Let's not kid ourselves, it's one of my busiest. But it's so different for me personally, to the Monday to Friday, and I so value this time. Just here now. Appreciate the preciousness of gathering together in the name of Jesus. He's here. We share together. He feeds us. He heals us. He opens our eyes. He touches us afresh. In a moment, He can just touch us with His gentleness, and we are again in that place of wonder. It's because of Him. Don't try and hold on to those moments. It's Him. It's Him. He's our rock. Glory to His name. And we get to live here, friends. This isn't somewhere we dip in and out of. We get to live here. Praise God. I was so blessed when all the fellows got up. I didn't know that was about to happen. But let's read our passage, and I hope you see the link. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Now, forgive me for my pronunciation if it isn't the orthodox one. I'm thinking Tychicus. Is that Tychicus? 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 Anyway. Ticklish. Let's move on. We've not got further than our first word. Okay, this beloved brother, Paul says, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. He will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you, that's Tychicus and Onesimus, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. So this is Paul in Rome, writing to the saints in Colossae. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who's called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. I'd like to just stop there. We'll come to Epaphras in the last next time. So that's just from verses 7 down to 11. Really interesting when all the fellas just stood there. I wanted to take a photo. It's one of those kind of, you know, and I don't know if you remember in the midweek meeting, if you were here, Mark put a photo up from the weekend, do you remember? And then he went over like and was sort of pointing out, there's Matthew Meaton. He's a good friend of mine, sorry to bring him up again. There's Matthew. And I like to think of this a little bit at the end of the letter. We've had such amazing doctrine from Paul. Just high, high Christology, if you like. Exalting Christ, the pure, wonderful, exceptionally high proclamation of who Christ is and what he's done. And in so doing, preaching Christ like he does, he deals with a whole load of nonsense. There was all sorts going on. I don't know if you can remember back to 2014. This is a long time before that. What don't you understand? All sorts going on. And Paul deals with it by preaching Christ. He just goes big guns and he exalts Christ Jesus, the Lord of all. Huge. And then he doesn't just leave us there with high doctrine. He brings us, as it were, down to earth, feet on the ground, rubber hits the road, application. But he bases the application entirely on the person, the wonder of the person and work of Christ. And everything then practically is applied 100% on Christ. Christ plus nothing. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God for Jesus Christ. Christ plus nothing. You, we sing, don't we, are all I need. That has to be absolutely clear in our hearts and minds and lives. So we've, if you like, this wonderful pure doctrine, this really down to earth, feet on the ground application. And then in this last part, and we mustn't rush it, I was kind of thinking, there's these real people. Real people, with real names, with real circumstances. Flesh and blood, just like you and me. Ordinary, real people. And it's like Paul in his letter. They didn't have cameras by then. Not by then, then. They didn't have cameras then. But it's as if he's tucked in. Where's dear Lee? Is Lee here? He's not well. Bless him. Lee, if you ever listen, hope you get better. He loves a photo, doesn't he? I just thought of dear Lee. I just thought of all the times we have missionaries coming through and people of our own body sharing when they've been on the trip, and I've sat in seats here, there and wherever, looking up at real people in the pictures, real people. And the people who are talking, you can tell they love them. Just the other week, Paul, he was telling us it was people. And Paul does the same here. He talks about his companions. What a wonderful word that is. Those he shares bread with. That's where the word comes from, apparently. Pane, bread, com, with. It's good to have companions, isn't it? Bless you, Dave. I know I only did part-time weekend, but just that, it was a simple and yet so profound point about Daniel. He was not alone. We wondered for a little moment why we remembered them as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and why not by their Hebrew names. That's one of those mysteries. But move on. Daniel was not alone. He had his companions. You know, the Lord ordains it for us not to go solo, but to be in it together. And dear Paul, you could be tempted to think he's going a bit solo. He's such a unique, gifted man. But no, not at all. He opens his heart here and we see wonderful things of this precious truth that we're in it together through thick and thin. Thank God for each and every one of you, dear people of God. Oh, hallelujah. I love it. I love the reality of it. This is Jesus in flesh and blood. In real people. In real circumstances. So, can we look at that? I wish I had a photo in a way. I don't know what they look like. I was thinking Tychicus might have been a bit small, but that's probably because... That's probably because I've mispronounced it. Turns out he's a giant of a man. Anyway, just in your imagination, you've got the letter, and Paul sort of, I don't know, he's scrawled on the, oh, go with me a little bit, yeah. This dear man, listen to what he says. He says, a beloved brother. A faithful minister. Minister, that word there is, again, pronunciation is a little bit weak on my part. Diakonos, I think. Servant. And then you've got a fellow bondservant, a fellow slave. So that word minister in verse 7, you need to be a little careful. We all need to be a little careful because sometimes we put through the filter of how we understand words in our contexts, we kind of overlay onto what the meaning actually is. So when you say minister, if you say minister, sometimes people kind of, ooh, that's a kind of position of status. It's some minister, a minister. Actually, it's a servant. Which in the Greek context was a lowly, undesirable position. But what commendation Paul gives this dear man. It's almost like Tychicus, beloved brother. That's from the word, that love, of that agape love we heard about last week with such wonderful, refreshing power. Were you here last week? I'm still wondering at the heights and the depths of the love of God for me on the back of last Sunday morning. Oh, the heights, the depths. Well, Paul says of this man, he's a beloved brother, and brother just literally means one, a male of the same womb. Powerful, isn't it? He's talking, something has occurred here because of God's amazing grace that makes this man his beloved brother. Wonderful. That's an amazing threefold commendation for this man, isn't it? If you just think of the word beloved, whenever I hear that word, I actually, in my head, you can say beloved or you can say beloved. And I think of my dad. He loves that word. You know, it comes again and again. The first 9 times, apparently. I need to check it out. I read it. Sorry, I didn't check it out. But apparently, the first 9 times in the New Testament, it's the Father speaking of His Son. How precious is that word? We all know that one, don't we? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's the word Paul takes and applies to this brother. My beloved brother. Wow. That's fellowship, isn't it? Koinonia. Beloved brother. I was thinking, when I was thinking of photos, Chris, sorry to embarrass you, pretend no one else is here. We'll just have a moment. Boys camp, I've got a black and white photo. Do you remember it? You were my tent leader. Should have seen the state of me. I looked as tired as I do now. Jamie, Peg. I just looked the lads. Often think of them all. Pray for them. Sarah prayed the other week for all those that had passed through. He hasn't finished with them yet. But I've seen you there. Beautiful beard, Chris. Chris, my friend. Don't get hung up on the beard, Andrew. Do you see, though, Paul's doing this? This dear man, he's a beloved brother. Essentially, minister, we taught servant, humble, submissive service. That's what it's about. Listen to this from 1 Peter. You don't have to turn that. I love this coming from Peter. We know his story, don't we? Now, just hear the evidence of the working of the grace of God in what he says. This is Peter. As each one has received a special gift, minister it. Essentially, employ it in serving one another. As good stewards of this gift, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grace is gift, isn't it? So as each one has received gift. It's gift. Generously lavished upon his people. And as you've received it, what are you to do with gift? Serve. Serve one another. Oh, how wonderful. A lot of this can be hidden. Some of it's seen. That's not the point. The point is serve. For in so doing, we're serving Christ. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And Paul, countercultural. This whole idea was menial and not to be desired. And yet he is elevating the lowly. Exactly what Jesus did when they were fighting over it. Do you remember? Who's going to have the greatest spot? Whoever desires to be great. Whew. Glory to God. Our Lord Jesus, the greatest. It's without question, isn't it? The greatest.
the incomparable Saviour, the King of Kings, all authority and power and wisdom and might. And he comes down from heaven. He goes so low, and then he goes low again. And just before he's about to go even lower, he gets down and washes the guy's feet. Down he goes. He's loved us like that. He's loved us like that. He's loved us from start to finish. Faithful Jesus. Our servant King. Glory to his name. So this dear brother's getting a commendation. Wow, some commendation. Faithful servant. And then you've got, and fellow servant in the Lord. What a privilege and a blessing and a comfort to dear Paul. He was recognizing this man was a servant, diakonos, but then he also, I think it's sundoulos, something like that, but it's a slave together with that other word. So he's saying, he's a servant, he's a minister. And then he moves on, this third thing he says, and he's with me. We're together. Bless the Lord. Dear Paul's in prison in Rome. And he's saying, check out Tychicus. And then he says this lovely little phrase. So he's commended this guy with a threefold commendation. So beautiful. So sincere. Through and through. He loves the fella. And then he says, he's going to tell you all the news about me. Isn't that just so ordinary and so beautiful and so precious? Paul is saying to these dear believers, I'm sending this Tychicus to tell you what's going on here in Rome. Don't you love to hear news of those you love? Good news from a far country is like cold water to a thirsty soul. That's a proverb. I found that applicable in so many areas of life. In fact, it speaks to me of the gospel when I was far off. It was me who was in the far country. And one day, it dawned on me. I heard the news. And whether you realized before that you had thirst, somehow in the hearing of the gospel, you realize how thirsty you are. Nothing like, quite like having just cold water, is there? I fell for it on the big walk. I hadn't realized it was going to be so big. But I think it was one of the Worsley boys. Very sensible chaps. You've done well there, Richard and Maggie. Wise young men. I was, maybe just because it was a rare occasion where I was on my own at the weekend, I thought, well, hey, I can have juice. Woohoo. I'm going to make my water taste of black currants. Woo. And one of the lads said, don't do that. When you're on a walk and you're really thirsty, all that you want is water. Just water. You don't want all that sugary nonsense. I just put a little bit in. I tell you what, 6 miles in, I was thinking, I don't want to admit it, but that boy was right. Water! Thankfully, one of the lads passed me a bottle of water. Well, it just went down and was gone. Thirst. Sorry, that was on the word news. Don't quite know how we got there. So anyway, he's going to tell them all the news about Paul. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose. And then this other side, the news about him and this other side, and relationships are, they're two-way. Aren't they? We know that so well. But here he says that he may know your circumstances. So he's going to tell them about Paul's circumstances. And it's also that he may know their circumstances. No doubt Paul wanted to know theirs. Isn't that lovely? You know, it does something amazing. This isn't, don't have to get too all spiritual about it. But if someone's interested about what's going on in your life, it has a big impact.
doesn't it? I've heard stories of missionaries, one of the most precious things for them is just to hear what's going on back home. And also to be able just to say what's going on there, even if it's the most ordinary, mundane things. And you know what? Even if we at times feel desperately lonely, you know, the Lord always has an ear to hear. He wants to know. I know He knows it all already, but I've found it so refreshing in recent days, sometimes when you're grappling with stuff, just to tell Him. Lord, sometimes I'll be in the car. Lord, I know You know this, but let me just tell You. Can't see a way through. How do I deal with this? Lord, how wonderful. Can I just say, as a church here, I've so valued us being a group of elders together, just to be able to talk and pray and love you all, pray for you and just share what's going on. It's so precious. Love the diamond jumpers there. That was a throwback, wasn't it, Dave, on the 50th? I remember that. I know it was a bit of a joke and means a lot. We're in it together. For the Lord, for you, for one another. We're in it together. All of us. How precious. Oh, glory. Don't you just want to give Him the biggest hug ever? Oh, Jesus. You've loved me. You've loved us. You haven't finished with us. You've got plans. Redemptive plans. You're reaching out into impossible situations. You're still moving to heal and release and apply who You are and the wonderful work that You've finished. Praise God. I love this book. So rich, isn't it? And this, brace yourselves. No, so we've had Tychicus. There he is, Tychicus. He might be small, he might be tall, I don't know. No idea what he looks like, but there he is on the photo. Paul does a wonderful pen portrait with words, doesn't he? And then listen, hold your horses. This is just amazing. With Onesimus. Tychicus coming with Onesimus. Now, Tychicus is the postman. He's like, kind of like, I don't know if you could say the lead postman. He'd probably, servant that he is, would probably not want to take that title. But he's got, I don't know how they carried them. I was just going to go for the postman bag. But anyway, he's got Colossians. He's probably got Ephesians. Onesimus, he's got a much lighter letter. Oh, I love it. I love the grace of God. He's got Philemon. Onesimus has got Philemon. I wasn't going to read it. Can we just read it? It's really short. Right, so he's got this in his pocket, or his... Maybe they didn't have pockets. I don't know. Let's not get bogged down with that. So this, Onesimus has got this. Tychicus is there. He's got the letter. Oh, what trust that Paul's had in these two men. Listen, this is what Onesimus has got to give to Philemon, one of the key people in Colossae. So we'll just read it nice and quick, just like you would when you get a letter. Just gobble it all up, okay? Ready? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow labourer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in your house, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, wow, what an introduction. He knows how to deal with people, and it's from a sincere heart. He's got a point of writing this letter, hasn't he? We know, if you know Philemon. He says, therefore, that I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. My son, who I've begotten in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, Philemon, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me, there's that word again, in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. I love how Paul's interpreting the circumstances. I love it. Oh, wonderful to have grace at work in your interpretation of circumstances. That you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave. Here it is, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. If he's wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow labourers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So that short letter is with Onesimus and with Tychicus, and they've been sent by Paul. So here, just bear that letter in mind, and we have with Onesimus. Now, you spoke about a light bulb moment 2 weeks ago. I had one. Thanks to Abby for the really useful way to study Scripture. We were in a lovely Friday club. That took me back a little as well. And she had a great little outline for how to look at a passage. And the first point was it the first point? No, second. Yeah. There was heart, wasn't there? There was light bulb. There was application. It was great. If you're interested, speak to Abby. I had a light bulb. Something new just flashed by the Lord's grace when I read this. So, just contrast this. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. What's missing? Servant. There's absolutely no mention of servant or slave or anything to do with that. I'd never seen it before, and I was... The grace of Jesus. Paul wasn't sort of stuck into some kind of hard line. Right, this is the qualifications. You've got to be a servant. You've got to be a bondservant. Precious as that was. He was responding to the unique circumstances and situation of each individual. And he didn't mention slave. He didn't mention servant when he spoke of Onesimus. Because he was. I'd never seen it. It so touched me that the Lord deals with us with such tender mercy. You know, sometimes we can wade in with words. This, and this. Done my job. I've said the full bit. No. Sometimes it's necessary just to say nothing. Just to be present with. Here, you've got the letter in his pocket, so to speak. Paul says, Tychicus, Onesimus, no mention
of the past. No mention of whatever had gone on that had Onesimus flee from Philemon and hide out in Rome. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And though it all seemed like it was all a big mess, the Lord Jesus is so redemptive. And now with him being restored back, but no mention. Onesimus, and he commends him on the same terms as Tychicus. Beloved brother and faithful. And he stops there, he doesn't say minister. He's just beloved brother and faithful. Isn't that wonderful? How he loves us. We've been listening to a song with the girls. How he loves us, it says. How he loves us. And we are his portion. He is our prize. We've been drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. And if grace is an ocean, there's a bit of poetic license, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. And my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And it goes on. It's just, it's this wonder how he loves me, how he's dealt with me, not according as my sins deserve, but with such amazing grace. Have you seen the grace in his eyes? Onesimus saw the grace of Christ in the eyes of Paul. Nothing less. He saw the amazing grace of Christ in the eyes of Paul, and he heard the grace of Christ in the words. Faithful and beloved. That's Onesimus. Oh, praise God. Wonderful. This is so lovely, isn't it? He's one of you. You can imagine how the enemy will be trying to mix this one up and spoil it and mar it. But Onesimus is coming back with Tychicus. I love that they're in there together. I don't want to put things that aren't there, but I imagine Onesimus might have had on that long, long journey a few moments of nervousness. A few moments of, how's this going to go? And he's got a brother with him who doesn't have the same history as him. And yet they're both recipients of grace. And they're together. And they've been sent by Paul. You've got Colossians and Ephesians, I think. And Philemon, postman together. Oh, I love it. Glory to God. They will make known to you all the things which are happening here. He says the same thing about Onesimus as he does Tychicus. Verse 10, we're doing okay, I think. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you've received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who's called Justus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. I just wrote down here, these three, Aristarchus, John Mark, Mark, in the old version you get a bit of Marcus, rhymes with Aristarchus, like it. And Jesus, who's called Justus. You've got Aristarchus, Marcus and Justus. If ever there were a three musketeers. And these three are Jewish believers. I was really blessed by this. What Paul says again. He says they're the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. Now that, there's a shot of sadness there. There's heartache in Paul. Think of how he wrote about his own countrymen in Romans. He said things like, I think we have almost the same thought in one of our Wesley hymns. I think it's perhaps taken from that. But take Jesus, take this love from me. For them. Paul expresses something so deep and so passionate for his own people. Even though he's called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, he's got a big heart for his Jewish countrymen. And here, what a comfort. Now, comfort there could be comfort that they're the Lord's. They've been saved. They're in answer to this great yearning in his heart that we hear in Romans. Also comfort because how many others should there have been? It seems, I just get that. I don't know if you agree with that. I think it's probably the case. He's saying, my only, three of them in Rome. Sadness. And yet in the sadness, comfort. Glory to the name of Jesus. There are tears, aren't there? There are tears, there are heartaches, there are sadnesses in this world. We mustn't be unreal. We walk through the veil of tears often. One day. Oh, thanks for choosing that higher throne song. That took us somewhere, didn't it? As a body, we were. Glory to God. He'll wipe each tear stained eye. Hallelujah. So you've got these three, Aristarchus, fellow prisoner. Just very briefly, these are the last three I'm going to talk about briefly. So Aristarchus, first mention of him, you've got in Acts 19. You remember the riot in Ephesus? It just mentions Aristarchus was there with Paul in the midst of the riot. You get other mentions, but the next kind of significant one, although it's so easy to miss it, in Acts 27, really interesting, the tempest. Remember? The storm. Aristarchus is with Paul. There. And then we've got this commendation of Aristarchus and the others that these are my only fellow workers. They've proved to be a comfort to me. Now I wonder, Paul speaking of Aristarchus, he's a faithful man. He's been with him. That's what it seems to be suggesting. He's been with him through thick and thin. You find in the riot, he's with him. You find in the tempest, he's with him. Just, he gets a few mentions. Not prominent, not a big show, but he's there. He's there. And Paul says, comfort. And then, again, it's a bit like Tychicus with Onesimus. Then Paul says, and Mark. Mark, do you remember Mark? John Mark. I don't know how else to put this. What a comeback! What a comeback! So he goes with Paul on his first missionary journey, young man, and then you can read it in Acts. Essentially, to put it fairly bluntly, he deserts. Turns back. Don't know all the details. But then you get a hint of the seriousness of it, because you remember Paul and Barnabas have a, how's it phrased? Definitely the word contention is in there. And it's a real strong thing. Paul essentially is saying, he's not coming with me on missionary trip 2. And Barnabas, son of consolation, encourager, uncle, I mean it's all going on there, uncle, it's his, is it nephew? Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I told you, we're in it together. So Barnabas is saying, come on, you can see, I can see where Barnabas is coming from. He's wanting to encourage the lad. He's probably thinking, Jonah, second time, come on Paul, give him another shot. And Paul's like, no, he deserted. And there's a big contention. Paul says no, Barnabas says yes, but he can't go with Paul. So he goes with Barnabas back to Cyprus, I think. That was alright, wasn't he? He did alright there, going to Cyprus. And for a long while, whenever I've thought of this, I've felt a bit uncomfortable, and I've thought, who was right, who was wrong, what's going on? And you know, the grace of God just showed me just very recently again that actually the Lord was working. Paul, you could say, well, he was right in the sense that taking young men on this trip, he's had one who's done one on the previous trip, he doesn't want to influence those other people.
Barnabas is thinking, oh, the Lord's grace isn't done with Mark yet. I'm still praying for him. I'll take him with me and we'll see. And bless the Lord that it's not the end of the story, because look what we hear about Mark. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. This is Paul speaking. And then we can read this also. I love this. Paul tells Timothy to pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. The man who Paul once said no to became one of his greatest helpers. You can read that in 2 Timothy 4. What a comeback. What a comeback. So you've got Aristarchus. He's been there all the time. You could sort of look at him and go, impeccable. And then you've got Mark. Seemed to blow it. And then somehow, with the working of the grace of God, you've got them together again. You've got Tychicus. Seems totally faithful. Got a good CV, so to speak. And then you've got Onesimus. And they're together. No distinction. Neither slave nor free. Oh, glory. Glory to God. What a comeback. 3-0 down at half time. You know what I'm talking about. Move on. Who would have thought? Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of keeping you through thick and thin. He's the Lord even if you've deserted. He's able to give you a second chance. Dare I say it, a third? How many times shall we forgive? Peter says to Jesus, I've run out of fingers. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know who you identify. These are real people who Paul loved. This is real stories unfolding. Just at the end, sort of snuck in at the end, the photo in the letter. We've had such high doctrine. We haven't even got onto Epaphras yet. Brace yourself. What to say about Jesus' justice? So you've got Aristarchus, you've got Marcus, and Jesus' justice. That's all we hear of him. A comfort to Paul. And by the way, what a great name. I know it was common. That's all that's said of him. Jesus, known as Justice. That's a good name. Justice Brown, I was thinking of. In the football. He's got a great football top with Justice on the back. Anyway. Sorry, mate. He administers justice on the pitch, don't you? These three were a comfort to Paul. Bless the Lord. Let's close, shall we? Let's pray. I think today, application-wise, when I was praying, I just said, oh Lord, thank you for giving me fresh opportunity. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you that though I was a slave to sin, you don't talk about it anymore. Thank you. Thank you that you don't bring up my past failings. Thank you. Thank you that you call me a fellow worker. Thank you, Lord. One application surely has to just be worship and thankfulness and the way he's dealt with us. How he mentions things that we're so surprised at and doesn't mention things that we think we should have over our lives. Wonderful Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for each of us gathered here in your name. Thank you, Lord, that you work in our lives with such grace and care, such redemptive purpose. Lord, I want to thank you for Paul and Barnabas involved with Mark and how you worked it all out, Lord. In the end, Lord, you worked it all out for your glory and you brought full restoration for Mark.
Oh, praise you. Thank you for Onesimus and Philemon and all these people and your church. We love you with all our hearts. We want to be counted in whatever way that is, as your companions, Lord, and companions together. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Sometimes that just says it all, Lord. We just love you so much. Thank you for today. Amen, Lord.